You're listening to The Pipeline Show with Dean Millard and Guy Flaming on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Welcome back to The Pipeline Show on this maiden Monday. Guy Flaming, Dean Millard, Taylor Medic with you. Still scoreless in the bean pot. Now into the third period. Keep you updated on that as we continue forward. Mark Edwards from HockeyProspect.com is going to join us. Maybe we'll throw the question of the day at him as well.
Oh, yeah.
Would you draft a goalie in the first round? Does that change from year to year with depending on who the goalies are or not? Or is it a philosophical thing? We'll ask Mark Edwards his thoughts.
Maybe there are some teams that just say, you know what, I don't want to take a goalie in the first round. I think that's silly to just have a all or nothing belief in case there's a superstar goalie that falls into your hands at 22.
Well, let's find out. We're going to talk to Mark Edwards right out. And one of the guys we're going to chat about is Dante Fabbro with the Penticton Vs. Here's Fabbro in action.
Yips in their own zone. Great forecheck pressure by the Vs, causing problems early on. And they score off the draw. Fabbro lets it go. Blocker side sails in.
As we are pleased to be joined once again by the director of scouting for HockeyProspect.com, Mark Edwards. How are you tonight, Mark?
Hey, guys. How are you? Dean, you're back.
I am. I'm alive.
How are you, man?
I'm good, thanks. Good to chat with you, Mark.
Yeah, you too.
Mark, would you draft the goalie in the first round? Why or why not?
I think it's a little bit scary. I can see why your question's out there, but you know what? There's goalies that just have that value at times, so you got to do it.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement then with depends who the goalie is. It's not just a blanket statement that you do or you don't, but depending on the goaltender, it's worthwhile.
Yeah, and I was listening earlier. We've got Carter Hart just outside the first, actually. I don't have it right in front of me, but there, just a sec. We have him on January 25th at 34, so yeah, just outside.
All right.
And he's the highest goaltender that you guys have ranked, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, currently, yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, Mark, let's go through the top 10. I know there are a bunch of guys you want to focus in on outside the top 10, but maybe just for the benefit of the audience that haven't gone to HockeyProspect.com and looked for themselves, what's the top 10 look like at HockeyProspect.com?
Yeah, well, the same big three, and I'm pretty sure that those big three will go down with Matthews 1 and then either Laine or Puljujarvi at 2. We've got Laine. For me, it's just by a hair. For some of the guys on our staff, it's a bigger gap. I think that you can't go wrong with those two. Tkachuk in at number 4, it gets a little bit tighter through this stretch. Juolevi, the D-man in London, so his teammate at 5. The gap's closing there for me. Dubois-Guy, you know, I've talked to you a lot about him, how much I like this kid. He was at 6, so just before the top prospect game. We moved him up a couple spots from 8 to 6, I believe. And I'm going to see him this week, actually, and then again later this month. So I'm looking forward to that. Chychrun at 7, I just saw him on, when did I see him? On last Wednesday. You know, it's the same thing. He's just, he's not been bad, but just not getting it together with some consistent offense, and then he just has some hit-and-miss defense. And I was watching Bob's show earlier, and he just mentioned, you know, kind of a rough top prospect game and just hasn't had the consistency going. So we'll see what the rest of the season does for him. Nylander in at 8. The kid's just been rising all year. Liked him last year in the U-17, and he just keeps going. And that ranks 20 minutes from my house, so I've seen Mississauga about 12 times. Sergachev at 9, just saw him Saturday night in a great game against Erie. He was fantastic, barring one kind of gaffe early in the game. Throwing his body around. The kid just looks like he could jump in a NHL lineup tomorrow. And Tyson Yost, the BCHLer, wraps it up at the 10th. And I just saw him in my trip out west and watched him on the prospect game. Had seen him excel in the World Junior A Challenge closer to home in early December.
Well, let's go with Tyson Yost, who he told us earlier it was Yost anyway. That's what he had said his last name was, but that's a discussion for another day. The size of Tyson Yost, 5'11", 191, does that come into effect at all in his play?
I think he plays every bit of that. So for me, it disappears a little bit. You know, he's so solid out there. His skating is so good. There's no sense that he's you know, undersized at all when he's on the ice. The fantastic skating, the agility. I think he plays strong on his skates. The shot's fantastic. So for me, it just disappears. I just use that line. He's a hockey player, and he's just so well-rounded and the type that coaches just love. So, yeah, it really doesn't bug me. Would it be better, obviously, if he was bigger? Sure.
Speaking with Mark Edwards, he's the director of scouting for HockeyProspect.com. Let's go to Joe's teammate in Penticton, and that's Dante Fabro. We heard the clip from him at the start of the segment. This is a defenseman that is, probably one of the four or five best in the draft class. What has he shown you this year?
Yeah, well, you know, he started really in our preseason. We had him top 10. Actually, I think he was about six or seven or something like that. And held his own there for a little bit. He suffered from an injury, and depending on what NHL scout I talked to, I got a different story. But I guess the one that was most common was like a high ankle sprain, which we know those can last. So when I saw him at the World Junior A Challenge, he really wasn't at his best, and he struggled a bit and just kind of wrote that one off. And then I saw him last week. I thought he was really good in the prospect game out there. And, you know, I think he comes in about 12 or 13 on our list that we released January 25th.
Yeah, 13th.
Yeah. Again, much like his teammate, really mobile, great skater, just well above average in the acceleration and at the top speed. And I just think he controls the flow of the game. He buys time and space for himself to make decisions with his feet. He moves pucks and does a good job on the manning the point on the power play.
Max Jones is number 15 on your list, plays for London of the Ontario Hockey League. The thing that jumps out at me is he's 6'3 already. Is this a guy that uses his size quite effectively?
Yeah, not as consistently as I actually remembered him coming into the year, but he does have his moments where he really does. And then sometimes in just a certain game, it disappears. So maybe he builds up a little bit of hate in some games and gets it going a little bit more than others. But I talked to Guy a little bit about this guy early in the year. Big kid, you know, really good tools. His skating is very good. Shot's good. When I'm watching him at times this year, it just reminds me of when I was watching Bertanen in this draft year, because just the tools are there and how good they look out on the ice just on their skating and the size and all that alone, but just lacks a little bit in the hockey sense. I like Bertanen a little bit more in his year, you know, at the same time. I had one scout call Jones Claude Lemieux, which I don't quite see because I don't see him being a pest often enough, but I thought it was an interesting comment.
Mark Edwards, our guest here on the Pipeline Show from HockeyProspect.com. Michael McLeod had on the show about a week ago, I guess. And this is a guy who seems to be generating some maybe polarizing opinions about him. How do you feel about Michael McLeod?
You know, he was polarizing in his OHL draft year, too.
Okay.
So it's not really surprising me that much. He works so hard. I just saw him again on Friday. None of them were really good as far as the prospects go. Nick Hague was probably the best, but he's a late birthday for next year. But he works so hard. He can just dominate with his work ethic and control pucks. He can really skate. I kind of like him better when the puck's already in the offensive zone. I think he's really good when he gets the puck and he's in there and he's just working the walls. Again, because he's just like a pit bull. He works so hard. So I like him there better than off the rush. I think sometimes off the rush, he kind of skates himself into the corner or skates himself out of chances. But, you know, like I said, the compete level's there. He just wins his battles. I don't think he's really a totally pure scorer. So that plus maybe a little lack of hockey sense. And I don't want to think he's dumb because I don't, but just not up with, say, a Dubois hockey sense, in my opinion, anyway. And that's why he'd be trailing in our rankings, both Nylander, his teammate, and Dubois.
Number 17, you guys have, and I'm thinking it's German, Rubstoff, and I apologize if I mispronounced that. But this is a Russian-born player that has a German name, literally. What can you tell us about him? I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, that's how I pronounce it, too, so we're going to go with it.
Okay.
Saw him previously to the season, and then most recently at that World Junior A Challenge, which I've spoken about earlier. He's really growing on me. One of our guys in Europe really likes him, has him ranked even higher than our overall list here. Skates well. I think he plays a really up-tempo game. I like him on McLeod, really good compete level. He'll be used in all situations, a smart player, really good head for the game and situations and situational hockey. He's aggressive on the puck. He'll support the puck. And, he'll get his chances by grinding, and he goes to the net. And again, I don't think he's an absolute sniper or a really high-end scorer, but he gets his goals and his points just by work ethic and going to the net.
Mark, there's a player named Boris Kachuk, who's Canadian and Russian. I said it that way because it makes it sound like he's Klingon. He's an interesting specimen because he's 6'1", 180-some pounds, plays for the Sioux Greyhounds, and has a pretty respectable numbers this year with 14 goals, 35 points through 43 games. Haven't heard much about him. I know he played at the top prospect game. What do you like about him?
Yeah, I do like this kid. And, he only played about 9 or so games, I think, prior this year. So he's a real rookie in the sense that he didn't have a ton of action as a call-up or anything last year. Excuse me. The Sioux coaching staff and actually Kyle Raftus were in the scout room. I had just kind of bounced some questions off them prior to the game on Friday night. They were in Mississauga, and, they just said, great kid, and he just shows up and really low maintenance. I think Raftus said you could throw him on D and you wouldn't hear a word out of him if they needed to. So, but as far as how he plays, a hard-nosed kid. He was a second rounder in the draft. He's got some skill, much like I've just said about the previous two guys. Not an absolute sniper, but he can score. I think he's got about 19 now. He scored the other night. It was a nice goal. He skates well. Showed me a burst in one game really early this year that caught my eye. You mentioned his size. He's not tiny, and he'll play big. And another guy that just competes hard and wins those battles and does little things that coaches like. He'll go to those dirty areas. So it's he's growing on me more and more, and he kind of rose up the rankings. And Ryan Jesse obviously has seen him as well and likes him. So, yeah, he's a guy that moves into the first round on that last list.
Alex DeBrincat is a real interesting story. 51 goals last year, 104 points, and a lot of people said, yeah, he's small and he has Connor McDavid. Well, he's still small, but he doesn't have Connor McDavid anymore this year, and he almost has a goal per game, 38 in 41 at the sheet I'm looking at. I asked you about a small player earlier. This is a guy who's small, but we're seeing small players make inroads in the National Hockey League. Do guys have to ignore the size when there's that much skill?
This is an interesting one. He started out the year, and you just took it kind of through the story here, and he started out the year out of our top 50. We had an initial top 50, and he was out of it, and I love the way he plays in junior. I can't say a bad thing about him, but I just thought, excuse me, with the lack of size, and I mean, he really lacks the size. I mean, I've seen him out of uniform, and the kid was wearing skinny jeans, and that was a bad wardrobe choice that day. The kid just flat out scores. It just nonstop, and so you saw the start he got off to, and Ryan and I started to get some viewings, and, he did little things well, and he was even bowling over some other players, and he just started working his way up to the point that, we got into our first round, and even, when you become a believer, he really jumps, because you either believe he can play in the league or you don't, and if you do, well, it's because of that ridiculous skill and goal-scoring ability. So he jumped right up there. And then he kind of cooled off and had some really poor viewings right after we made the move, of course, as fate would have it. And then he was great Saturday night. He played well against Windsor on Saturday night. And he's deadly on the power play. They set him up for the one-timer, and Strome just feeds it across to him all day long, and he rifles away. So, but the reason he started outside our top was, just obviously the size. But I just wasn't sure his skating was as dynamic as a need for a guy that size, and kind of have the, small and average skater doesn't usually add up. But, there's always exceptions.
Sort of like a Rocco Grimaldi type of guy. I mean, he was super tiny. He ended up going early second round or mid second round, but kind of similar in that way.
Yeah. I was never really as on board with Grimaldi because I didn't think he played as well of a team oriented, smart game. Like DeBrincat, he knows what to do, and he moves pucks a little bit as well. And like I said, he's even knocking some guys over. Like, he's not afraid to go fight and get his own pucks. He'll go in and get his pucks and come out with it. So
right.
I like him, you know, at the same time as Grimaldi that year. I like the Brincat more. And Erie's on my list to watch quite a bit down the stretch because they got Radish, too, who can drive you a little bit nuts. And there's a D-man there that I really like that played well Saturday night, Sandbrook.
Okay. Mark, we're going to end it with a pair of Windsor Spitfires, and I didn't know this, but there's a bylaw. If your name is Logan and you play for the Spitfires, you have to be at least 6 foot six. Luckily for these guys, they're both above that. 6 foot six for Logan Brown and almost 6'7" for Logan Stanley, both of them 220-plus pounds. One's a center, one's a defenseman. Stanley's the defenseman, and Brown's the center. We'll throw them both into this, but tell us about both of these guys.
Yeah, well, both were good on Saturday night. I mentioned that game against Erie. Really good game. It felt like a playoff game. Windsor carried a lot of the play and really came hard. And Brown scored a nice goal. Stanley played confident with a puck. I mentioned earlier on some radio that, you know, he was showing more confidence and poise carrying the puck. And he kind of had almost an end-to-ender where he got a quality shot on net. So both players have really progressed, especially Stanley. I think he's one of the most improved players in the draft. For Brown, he has flashes of absolute brilliance. This is a kid that's skilled. He's 6'6", but then he'll just have games where you can't find him and he disappears. Or sometimes it's not the whole game, but he'll disappear for, you know, a period. So for us, it's just continuing to watch him and hoping the consistency comes a little bit more, and that'll just dictate where he is in that top 30. He'll go in the first round. He's got the size and too much skill not to.
How's the skating for both of those guys? Big, big bodies like that. Can they move well enough?
Brown's is better. I just look at Brown and say he'll get stronger and that skating will be fine because there's no real issue there other than some of these big guys, they almost just look like they're lumbering more than they really are. Stanley has come miles. It's far from spectacular still, but compared to where it was at, I went to their main camp. I was dropping in way back his rookie year, so I saw his first main camp and he was last on every drill. I thought the kid was going to be carted off the ice. Like he just couldn't handle what they were doing out there in the first August with the Windsor Spitfires. So when I think back to that and see where he's at now, I'm amazed. Props to the kid.
Last one for you from my end. Might we see the BCHL chosen? A player from the BCHL chosen before a player in the Western Hockey League this year, do you think? Could it happen? Could two of them be taken before one player in the WHL this year?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that. Just based on our ranking, trying to think here. But yeah, I think that there's a good chance of that happening.
Yeah, Jake Bean's your highest WHLer at 20.
Yeah, and he's a bit of a slider for us. He might come up a little bit from that, but... I just think, and you've got Benson with his injury issues. Like, it just seems like it's a constant. I'm hoping he comes back. It was disappointing for me to go out west and not see him, that he was out. But, I really think there's a good chance both those guys go before one of those WHLers. Bean, I know Bean was just really high on Bob's list. So we'll see what happens there. But there's a good chance both those guys could go.
Interesting stuff. Mark, as always, we appreciate your time. What's coming out next at hockeyprospect.com?
I'm off the queue. As I mentioned, I'm going to watch some of those big boys there. They're coming to the eastern part of the queue, so I'm going to make my way down. And then we'll have another list at the end of the month, and that's our final one until we release the Big Bad Black Book. We don't do anything in March and April, and we'll try and get this Black Book out at the end of May this year because we got the draft really a whole week earlier this year, so it's killing our time in here.
All right. Great stuff as always, Mark. Thanks for this. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You bet.